plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.
Another big show today, the Big Breakfast, Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. We kicked off the week, Marto.
We so did, with Robin standing all over her children's computers on purpose.
Don't.
Did you have to pay $1,500 for that thing?
I did. Oh, well, God. Because, what you know, he's saying to me, I stood on my son's computer and it's broken and it's an Apple Air. He's in exam week. And what am I supposed to do? Because if he then doesn't get the grades, it's my fault.
Gotcha. What was the can of worms?
Oh, the can of worms were the space outside of my house is my territory.
Oh, yeah.
And you just flipped like a wet fish.
No. Well, outside my house, yes. Outside anyone else's house.
We also talked about kids' chores. And again, Marto, you're in the minority.
No, I'm a very poor father, but somehow they've turned out okay. There's a good one for people who they always hear. Now, you're pretty much a perfect parent.
I'm not.
You're as good as I've ever seen, okay?
Oh, bless.
I mix around with some fairly loose units. You're as good as I've seen. But I've got hope for everyone who doesn't measure up to that. Like, your kids might turn out okay. It's all
right. Well, you're living proof.
I know, somehow.
We'll get into all that and loads more, of course. It's the catch-up. Starts now.
I've only just realised the Moon's not here.
Oh, rubbish. Moon, come back. All is forgiven. Actually, he's on the phone because you're having a very delicate procedure this morning.
There is a procedure this morning, which means that I have to remain quite close to the bathroom. I've been drinking a form of human Drano. And to put it delicately, my nether regions have turned into what would happen to a can of Passiona if you shook it up and opened the can.
Oh, jeez. Now, listen, you haven't been allowed to eat for a whole day either, have you? Now you've taken this stuff and it just goes straight through you because you're having a colonoscopy.
That's right. And it's very important for men and women, once they get over the age of 40, to have someone have a look inside them. This is all part of crazy brother Steve's problems. He was diagnosed with polyps, and first-degree relatives, that being fathers, sons or brothers, should get checked as well. And I'm as good as gold, you know. I'm fine, but it's Steve's faulty mechanisms that have caused this problem, yeah.
So not
through the family now.
Not sisters, not mothers?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Rob, what was that?
Not sisters or mothers, you've just said the males in your family.
Well, if it's... So first-degree male relatives, if a male is diagnosed, and I think the opposite, if a female is diagnosed, it's only first-degree female relatives. I don't know where the gender divide comes on this stuff. But anyway, I'm going into hospital. I'm having a general anaesthetic. So I hope one of you guys got me on the Deadpool, because who knows?
No, I think that goes to yours. So
we'll find about it later.
Oh, you're funny.
Do I go on my own Deadpool?
Yeah, that's just a given.
Fingers crossed.
All the best, Tiger.
So are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling terrific.
Okay,
I'm going to say a purge is a really good thing to do.
Well, how much weight you lost?
Oh, stop it.
And this is the really disappointing zero.
Oh, mate, we'll see you in the morning. Good luck.
Good luck, Moon.
Oh, I love you guys. Bye.
See ya. Now, if you're watching Married at First Sight last night and stayed with it after seeing Dean and Tracy break up and Charlene and Patrick stay together, and yes, over the next 3 days, that is what will happen with all the couples.
Oh, it's still got a bit more juice in it.
Yeah, till Wednesday.
Righto.
But following that was 60 Minutes, and there was a story about Usman Khawaja, who I don't know a huge amount, apart from the fact that he is...
First Muslim-born Australian cricketer.
Right, from Pakistan.
I suppose they said that.
Pakistan. Yes, they did.
Moved up to Queensland. He's the Queensland captain in the last couple of seasons. Been in and out of the Australian team. Was it about him criticising the Australian selectors occasionally? Because he's very strident. Why didn't you take me to South Africa? Why didn't you do that? Oh, okay.
No, it was about his relationship with his Brisbane-born fiance, whose name is Rachel, and based on the photos they were showing last night, I think she went to All Hallows.
Oh, cute.
So, good Catholic girl.
Catholic girl school. If anyone doesn't know, at the northern end of the Story Bridge, you have a look across and you go, what's that school?
All Hallows. But the story last night was about the fact that Rachel has converted to Islam for Usman Khawaja.
Knowing how important Islam was to Usman and his family, and realising how strong her feelings were for the cricketer, Rachel started to think about converting, and in a simple ceremony last year, did so.
Wow.
That's a big call. That is a massive call to do that. And, you know, obviously comes from a Catholic family.
Catholic girl, yeah.
And she's made the decision that for love, and, you know, I honour that. I think that you got to put love first, and if that requires you to sacrifice some things, then
so be it. It's the other way around, isn't it? Although I do know whoever's got the strongest faith, my neighbour, I don't know if you've met him, but anyway, he's a very strong Jew.
Mm.
His wife converted from Catholicism to Judaism, which is a huge jump to make for a lot of people, and so same to Islam.
Well, the thing is about Islam, which I learnt last night, is that it's the female line that's so important. So if the mothers are Muslim, then that is become what the children become. So therefore, it's very important for people like Usman to marry. But I was trying to think of more things that people would have sacrificed for love. Like we will find out this week whether John and Melissa from Married at First Sight, whether he'll leave Altona, which is his great suburb in Melbourne that he works in and lives in and loves.
Yeah, you know, Kath said to me, I know the two you mean, the older bloke.
Yeah.
He loves a durry. Now, Kath's wondering whether that's the thing that she... Mm. You know, she goes, he won't give up some of the things. Yeah, well, behind the scenes, apparently, he likes a drink and a smoke with his mates.
Would you give up smoking for love?
Yeah, that would be easy.
Well, it wouldn't be for some people if
drinking,
you've been doing it.
I don't know.
Would you
bacon?
Give up drinking? Would you give up, bacon?
I wouldn't give up bacon.
Well, then you can't become a Muslim, obviously.
I didn't mean that.
Okay, 1-3-3-5-3.
The sacrifice is for what you give up for love.
Yeah, and did it work?
A lot of people have had to give up drinking because one partner goes, listen, you're a terrible drunk, that's the end. And if it's worthwhile, you would.
Well, is it? I'm just curious. I think, you know, we all talk about love and how important it is in our lives, but just what would you give up to be able to be with someone?
I got to think Catholicism wouldn't be real hard for me to give up. I haven't investigated it too deeply, but I go,
guilty about it?
Hey, no, God, no.
Okay, Sean of Biewa, what did you give up for love?
I gave up smoking for love.
In what? What happened? Give us the details.
Well, basically, I was married previously, and I went through a divorce. So I've been smoking for 27 years, and probably a pack a day person.
Yeah,
I met my wife to be now, and we started going out. Within 2 weeks, I'd given up smoking cold turkey.
Is that because she said I cannot stand to smell you if you want to stay with me? That one.
She was an anti-smoker, a non-smoker. She didn't mind it, but she said, I don't like it. And I said, I love this woman. I'm going to give up. And I gave up. Haven't had one since. Nine years.
9 years and you did it cold turkey.
Cold turkey.
Well, you're giving me goosies. That's a true story of love.
Yep, it was.
Jeez, it saved you some money, though.
Yeah, I was just about to say, how much money did you save?
Lots. You can't buy a pack of under $25 now.
Yeah, let's say 7 times 30 is 200. That's 10,000 a year for 9 years. You're nearly up to 100,000.
Yeah, I don't have that money, but anyway.
No. The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. This is Triple M.
I am going to walk into this with a little bit of trepidation because I think I'm just going to put a rocket up at you and you're going to go off like a banger. My girlfriend, Alex.
No, I've changed my tip. You
okay,
told me something.
Okay, just let me get it out and then we'll hear what you have to say.
Yeah, okay.
So my girlfriend, Alex, she rides the train from Indooroopilly into the city. She's a lawyer and she has to park. So she drives in from Brookfield and she parks at Indooroopilly train station. Now, parking it is an absolute premium, as you would well know.
Do they have a separate car park at Indooroopilly Shopping?
No,
Indooroopilly
you get
train
charged.
Station.
No, and if you park on the lower side, which is the St. Peter side, that people street parking is going nuts. And already she has to park about 4 or 5 streets away and walk about 800 metres to get to the train station. Anyway, in the last week she's noticed something and she's really upset about it. So she sent me some photos and we are talking about Newlands Road. That's where she parks. Anyway, in the last week.
You are. Yeah.
Okay, do you?
Yeah.
Near Lambert Road. She has noticed that people have randomly been placing witches' hats in front of their properties. I will also add, and this is where I think you're going to go nuts, is that there is a building site nearby and they are building some home units. She is questioning whether it's the builders who are putting that there so that they can get their utes close to the building site, or whether it's the owner of the properties who are sick of people parking there and walking to the train station and leaving their cars there all
day. I see that you've sent me a text message giving me two examples.
Yes.
The one example with 12 witches' hats in
excessive.
A row. 12. I've never seen it. Yes, that is over the top. You may as well hire a temporary fence. That has to be a builder's one because I've tried to do a close-up of that house. There seems to be a builder's sign on there. I can't read it clearly. But that would be because they've got a semi-trailer probably coming in the morning and there's nothing worse than there's a couple of crap cars parked there and you can't. If you didn't have those, the semi would have to park and unload in the middle of the road, which would stop anyone from driving along.
Well, that's okay. Why isn't that okay?
Because then you're stopping moving traffic. Like your friend, and this is where I get dirty, she's going, she has some sort of a right just because she wants to park in front of someone's house.
Well, it's a public street, so you can challenge that. But here is my question.
Yeah, but this other one here, now you've sent me another photo where they've used three witches' hats behind another car. Yeah, that's just those residents saying no one to park in front of our house.
Okay, well, the question is, the space, or the statement is, the space outside your house is your own territory, because then we can answer, open this.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
What do you reckon, yes or no? You don't. That you can't argue to me that a builder is allowed to put witches' hats for a semi-trailer and then tell me that the space outside your property, because I know what you do out the front of your property because you've got a church
nearby. I would like to paint a yellow line. And I know, I bet you there's somebody listening has painted their own yellow line. It happened again yesterday. Every Sunday, these church people that are over the road from... So I'm going to hit them with my tow bar one day.
No, you're not.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
With the statement, the space outside my house is my territory.
What did you think?
Well, I'm going to support Alex, my girlfriend, because she's the one that started this conversation. So I'm going to say that, no, it probably is public space.
So you don't live near a train station or a church or anything, a community hall?
Excuse me. You are upset about it when it's your house and you're not upset about it when you're being a builder.
Mm.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
Mitch of Forestdale, what do you think?
I used to live outside Villanova in Cooperita, and the worst offenders for parking outside properties are the soccer mums in their big four-wheel drives. I went probably 2 or 3 weeks out of having my wheelie bins emptied just because they'd park in front of them and block them off so the trucks couldn't get to them.
Ooh.
And there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. You don't have any right to the parking space outside your property.
Oh, so you've checked.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, what about some yellow paint? Have you ever thought about it?
I tell you what, mate, you can drive through St. Lucia sort of area and you'll see where people have done it and then the council will just paint it over it black.
Oh, there is somebody who's done
it. It's slightly dodgy if you've got yellow paint just in front of one property and then no others. Like,
can we just go back to your first point? You mentioned four-wheel drives. I remember doing a job about three doors down from Churchy, Brisbane's most expensive school. You should have seen the cars there.
What, they didn't
God,
want to touch
we wanted
the
to spray them with things. Like, they'd park in front of the job site. We were always hoping there'd be some concrete overspray just to give it to them.
Geraldine
anyway,
of Cooperoo.
That's personal.
Oh, this is happening to you as we speak. What happened?
Hi, this is Geraldine. Yes, I'm just been parked in 10 minutes ago. We're in Cooperoo, and they built a nursing home retirement village in our street over the last few years. And the staff from the nursing home are constantly parking, you know, us in. We can't get out of the driveway. And this morning, someone has parked completely across the driveway.
What?
And I walked up there with my swimming bag over my shoulder, my keys, and this lovely little lady comes out and says, "Oh, I didn't know it was a driveway." And I said, "But it's our house." I've been to City Council over the years. They said if you take photos, they can then, you pay some money, they can do a yellow line. Or it is driving us crazy. All the residents in the street have this. But it just happened. When you talked about it, I couldn't believe it.
That's funny. But I bet you so often they've got either a nose or a tail over part of your driveway anyway, haven't they? Because they can't judge.
That's right. And we have to reverse. It's a cul-de-sac split street and we have to reverse our car in. I'm not a soccer mum. Those days are gone. But it's like, you know, we have to get into our driveway anyway. And I just couldn't believe she said, "I didn't know it was a driveway."
And you can't yell at an old lady.
No, you can. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
And on a Monday morning, you can always yell at people.
Keith of Fairfield, what do you reckon
about
this?
How you going, guys?
Yeah, mate.
I'm a tradie and I'm with Marto on this. Because what one thing that no one's taking into consideration is the people that are going to unload that truck are bound by safety, workplace health and safety, so they can't be doing it in the middle of the road with vehicles coming past. So the witches' hats are actually part of workplace health and safety to have that truck unloaded
Keith,
in front of the building
Keith,
site.
Just remind, well, Rob, in the old days, we just get an offsider or one of the tradies from the site to wave traffic around. Now we'd have to get a full traffic operation with signs 100 metres each end and get a bloke in fluoro and get stop-go men at each end.
How much does that cost?
That's
This is the thing, and the domestic people don't want to pay all those extra fees
that's
for the stop-and-go people and all that. and flipping the coin. I live in Fairfield. Well, I used to live in Fairfield, 200 metres from the railway station. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a tradie, and there's days where I'm trying to drag a trailer in and out of the driveway.
Oh.
And you're worried about cleaning the front up of someone's car who's just parked there because you're just outside the parking, 2-hour parking zone of the Brisbane City Council parking district.
They're scabs. There you go.
70% say the space outside your house is yours.
Yeah, but it's not legal.
I don't think it is.
No, it isn't. Sure. I know it's not.
You put wheelie bins out there and just instead of witches' hats and you'll get away with it.
Yeah, I've tried that. A big breakfast on Triple M.
If you haven't got one of these super quicks in your office, you're an underperforming boss. Would that be correct?
That is correct. Because the thing about this company is they're Australian and they're based here in Brisbane, but they export all over the world.
Didn't they say they're the only Australian-born Australian manufacturer of these taps, which are an urn? They do what a fridge does in terms of cold water and they do what an urn does in terms of hot water.
Absolutely.
Great. Amazing. Incredible. You know what? I hope if I were to go to a fancy dress party, I'd go dressed as one of these super quick taps.
Can I see that? Actually, can I organise? My 50th is coming up at the end of the year. I'm going to make it a fancy dress so that you can go as a tap.
Oh, I got a good banana outfit too.
Plumbers become super plumbers installing a super quick water dispenser. SUPAKWIK.com.au to check them out.
All right, I'll come as a tap.
Can we just get slightly outraged, or maybe this is a single mother's outrage, and I'm guessing that you and I are going to be on totally different sides of the fence about this. It's about kids and how many jobs they do around the home. A new report has just been released where they asked 2,000 parents right around the country how many chores their children did. Okay, get this. 3 out of 4, 76% to be exact, of 6 to 17-year-olds do not do anything around the house. I find that completely unacceptable.
What's anything?
Oh, don't do dishes, don't do washing, don't try and cook, don't help, don't do chores, and chores is such an American word, don't do jobs to help with their parents. And yet, those same said parents do, by their own admittance, at least 5 hours of jobs a week.
Funny they stop at 17. I found our kids, since they left school, have really stepped up. Like, they've proven, and they've gone away and lived on their own for a while, come back, and they're actually useful humans.
You're the parent that did it for them, because if you're saying that they've now become useful.
Listen, Harry used to mow the lawn occasionally.
They used to occasionally unpack
the dishwasher. Did you have a little thing on the fridge? Were you one of those parents who things on the fridge?
When I was younger, we had a reward system.
We never did that. We were the free and easy hippie sort of parents who just went, they'll get it eventually, and they have.
But you did it all.
That's why you don't panic. Kath and I did it all. It was easy. It was only a four-person family.
No. Oh, gosh, that makes me
feel. Hold on. Couldn't trust them to wash. Couldn't trust them to clean any toilets or bathrooms. Couldn't trust, because the job they did was substandard.
Yeah,
and as a builder, one thing I always know is you never want someone to do a job twice. Otherwise, it's costing your time and money.
No, you do it with them until they get it to a standard, and then you put a consequence in place. And you say that if you don't do it right the first time, then you'll lose your phone. You won't play the Xbox.
No.
I've been doing this all weekend.
Oh, no.
I can't. Okay, so here's my point, right?
I didn't parent like that, and I used to watch all those perfect women, whether it's on Facebook.
Perfect.
No, but they'd say
like
they've got the little stars, and I'd read them in the paper, and I'd go, God, Kath, we don't do any of that stuff.
Okay, I don't do stars with an 18-year-old.
No, but you know the old days, you used to have them on the fridge, and I'd go, once we tried that, and it just, there was no ticks anywhere, and we just went, oh.
You have to enforce it.
But you know what? The good thing is, now I look back, we were hopeless, they were hopeless, they're now functioning human beings. It all works out.
No.
What?
You did 17 years of chores though, Marto.
Yes.
Didn't worry me.
Okay.
I come out the other side.
Oh, this
five.
Is ridiculous.
I can't even remember doing them.
But I'm going to read you a Facebook message that was sent by my friend Danielle yesterday. She said, did just send this text message to my teens who are upstairs. Fair warning alert. In exactly 32 minutes, you will both be asked to come down and do 15 minutes, which is nothing, of conscientious work tidying up. A timer will be set. Any child who argues or does not come when asked or slacks off will have to do all the tasks alone for as long as it takes to make me feel less disappointed in you. The first child down gets first pick of the jobs. Yours in frustration and a desire for equity, Mum.
No mention of a toilet there.
No.
Because that'll be the second job. Second person down has got the dunny. Oh, I can't look at you. I'm a disappointment, aren't I?
Corey of Cleveland. Are you a jobs person, or are you like Marto and a disappointment?
I am a jobs person. From the minute my kids could walk around, they could start helping out. Short-term pain, long-term gain, Marto, if you think the substandard, well, of course it's going to be substandard at first, but once you teach them how to do it right, they'll be able to do it, and you can have more free time to sit down and have a drink with your wife.
Yeah, well, we seem to fit that in as well.
More functioning kids.
Yeah, but we seem to be able to fit in that and do all the chores ourselves. And my son just rang me. He's listening now. He's on his way to work.
Oh, hey, Harry.
Hey, Has. He said, yeah, I used to do them when you asked me, but we didn't have a set system.
You didn't ask them.
Yeah, I'd ask him to mow the lawn or put the bins out, but eventually it'd take so long. How did you get the speed up, Corey? How did you get the speed up? Did they do them straight away, your kids?
No, they had a list that they would get paid for, and they have a list of jobs they've got to get done. They don't get any money for the jobs they get paid for until the ones they don't get paid for get done.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they got in and got them done.
Did you have something on the fridge? Where'd you have it?
On the fridge.
Yeah, everyone has it.
They wrote up the list themselves.
We tried that.
How much money they want for each one.
We tried that.
Yeah, but you've got to follow through, Marto.
Yeah, no.
Thanks, Corey. Scott,
it turns out all right. What happens? They go away from home and they learn off other kids.
Mate, you're lucky.
And they come back.
You're just lucky.
Yeah.
Scott of Chermside, what do you think about chores?
You're very lucky, Marto. Look, I've got four kids and they all have their own jobs. Mm. And like you, Robin, I'd like a copy of that text message. It sounded fantastic. But what I find is my wife tends to step in and do the jobs for the kids. So I say, have you done the washing up yet? Oh, no, Mum's done it. Well, that just defeats the purpose.
Who's emptied the dishwasher? Yeah.
You've got to be a united front. You have to be.
You've got to be a united front. But it wasn't worth the yelling and the angst. And, you know, you've just had dinner and people are yelling. You know, either Kath or I are yelling at kids. It was awful.
Well,
yeah, but then I've got to say, you know, will you buy me a phone or will you do this for me? Well, no, you start putting some money towards, you know.
Footy boots.
Thanks, Scott. I'm a dictator. Seriously, because otherwise I have to do it. And I'm already outnumbered 3-1. And they need to help me because I can't do it all.
I know. I know exactly. I know I'm in the wrong. And Kath's really like me. So we had two weekies
Kath's
do the work.
James of Moray Fields, what do you reckon about this?
Well, I'm really one of those kids who did all the chores because I'm 18 now, but me and my siblings have been doing jobs since we were about 4 or 5 ourselves each, like clean our rooms.
Yeah.
Like, we've done stuff we're asked to, like mow lawn, clean up.
Has it made you a better person?
Yeah, in a way, I reckon. Like, we do have our own jobs that we do on a routine that we just kind of be asked to, like, hang the washing out, do the dishes, all that sort of stuff. But honestly, hearing that many kids don't do their chores just sounds really atrocious, honestly.
Do you go over to other people's houses and just go, I can't believe you get away with that?
Oh, so many times.
Mm. Hey, James, can I ask you, because this is what I say to my sons all the time. My job is to make you a functioning human being so that by the time you leave home, you can take care of yourself.
I don't know what that means. That's just
let me ask James, can you cook for yourself? Can you clean? Can you iron?
Yes, I can do all those things.
And can a lot of your friends do that?
No. Honestly, whenever I'm at a place or whatever, I'm always the one they rely on because I can't do shit. Because I can't do stuff.
Do you teach all your mates how to iron? Because that's a big one. Young blokes don't know how to iron.
Some of them know how to iron because some go to uni and they need, like, flattish clothing. Like, I'm a tradie, so I don't need to iron as much, but I do know how to iron when I need to.
Did you say flattish clothing? That's unreal. Oh, I love you,
James. I want to give you something
because I think
you're awesome.
Yeah. Hey, James, because you're such a good human being, you're off to the Waterloo Bay Hotel, mate.
Oh, sweet.
$100 voucher for you. They present the Waterloo Fridays, the party to kickstart the weekend, Friday nights from 8:30. You can go there in your
good
nice
boy,
pressed
James.
Shirt. The big breakfast.
His flatty shirt.
Yeah, no. But do you see what I did there? I rewarded good behaviour.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Marto's going to be stealing a bunch of Waterloo Bay Hotel vouchers now. The big breakfast, Marto, Robin and the Moon Man on Triple F.
He is joining us. It's the one and only Trevor Long, and we just love him on a Monday. But, Trev, something happened over the weekend that I need your take on. I have 3 teenage sons, 18, 16 and 14, and the 16-year-old left his computer on the floor and I trod on it. Don't get me started.
Oh, not on purpose.
No, not on purpose. Anyway, he's going into exam week. He desperately needs his computer. He's got a number of assessments and stuff to do. So I went off to my local shopping centre, went into JB Hi-Fi where I bought it from, and they said it's not covered by warranty. Go across the way to an IT store. I spoke to the IT store and they said, yes, they can fix it, but Apple, because it's an Apple Air, embed their logo, correct me at any point if I'm wrong, embed their logo into the actual screen. So the only way that you can replace
genuine.
You've got to take the whole thing off and put a new one in.
Shiny Apple logo, when you open it up, it lights up. That's what they're talking about, the little Apple logo on the front, yeah.
Okay, $629. And if I go to Apple, it'd cost me more, apparently, because then it becomes a genuine part and that's more expensive. Oh. Or I can buy a brand new Apple Air, which would replace this 3.5-year-old computer, and it would cost me $1,500.
Oh, wow. So, and the problem there is, right, the sum of all the parts, if you were to replace everything on it bit by bit, would be more than the actual cost, because the replacement cost, the repair costs are extraordinary on these things. Because think about how thin that thing is. Think about how volatile that part is. As soon as one part breaks, it's a lot of effort to replace any of it. So you're kind of up for that drama no matter what piece of technology. I'll give you an example. Phones. Parents, and with the greatest respect to parents who've bought their kids iPhones, when those things break, that's very expensive to fix.
Hold on, you mean the screen?
In the water.
Do you mean the
any
screen, Trev?
Like that's, you smash an iPhone. Yeah. You can get it for a couple of hundred, but that's still like, what's that, a fifth of the cost of the phone? Still a lot of money. Kids drop their phones in water, the non-waterproof ones, gone. That's $1,000 gone.
Yep.
We kind of do spend a bit too much money on technology these days. I mean, I'd prefer parents were buying $300 phones and maybe not buying $1,600 laptops for kids who are going to leave them lying around on the floor. I don't know what you do, because there's no way around that. It's not like there's some second place you can go to get cheaper screens. That guy that you went to for $600, he's getting the cheapest screen he can get.
Yes, he is.
He's doing it in the quickest time he possibly can.
What did you do, Robin?
I've bought a new computer.
$1,500.
Because they couldn't guarantee that it would then not impact other things. But his birthday's coming up, and so I went home and said, yay, happy birthday, buddy. He's not happy, but he shouldn't have left it on the floor.
Because you stepped on it.
Yeah, I got all of that.
Hey, can I go back to the $300 phones? Do you reckon that's good enough for all the things that our kids need today?
Yeah. I'll give you an example. I normally use a $1,500 phone because I'm pretty lucky. I've got all the good ones, right?
Yeah.
But for the last week, I've been using a $700 phone. I've not noticed. And that's a half price discount already. I'm thinking I'm going to go down now to a $400 and see how that goes, because the only thing I've noticed is the camera is not quite as good in dark situations.
Trev?
Exactly.
I care.
But day to day.
Oh, sorry.
Day-to-day, you can save big bucks on technology if you're willing to kind of part from the flock and maybe not buy the one with the logo on it.
Okay, but here's the thing. You can't buy an Apple for $300.
No, but you can buy plenty of other phones for $300.
That's not my cool. point.
You don't have to have an Apple.
Gotcha, mate. Always
got. You don't have to be cool all the time, folks.
Okay, you can tell my sons that. No problem.
Trev, are you just about to go into Channel 9, Today Show?
I am, yes.
How are you going?
Everything
all right there with the Stefanovic?
Seems fine. I'm loving it. It's good here. Happy
Georgie.
Everything's great.
All right. Thanks, mate. You are the best. Everything for the man. Trevor Long, you are a champion, our tech guru.
See you guys.
It's the Big Breakfast. Marto, Robin and the Moon Man on Triple M.
Well, the moon's not with us this morning, Rob, and we've tried to explain why. Well, we've tried to do it comically, but this time, let's do it so it helps everyone. The moon is having a colonoscopy this morning.
Because he needed to, and he was advised to, and he followed through on that advice.
My wife had it 2 weeks ago, but it just becomes, and now I've got to have one in a few weeks' time. So it's about time we had the conversation.
Yeah, particularly because you've been avoiding it for 5 years.
That's right. Well, we've got with us someone who actually can have the proper conversation, the Director of Gastroenterology at Mater Hospital, Dr. Johannes Whitman. Hi, Doc.
Good morning. How are you, Marto? Yeah. How are you, Robin?
Yeah, good, thank you.
We're talking to a lot of men here, and it's more prevalent. I know my wife had it, but more prevalent that men need to have this done, correct?
It is a more common problem for men as far as bowel cancer is concerned, but the numbers are pretty even, and it's a pretty scary thing that we're screening for, because bowel cancers are in the top two or three cancers now numerically after breast cancer. And like, you know, the Moon Man is doing, he saw his doctor and got a referral. You guys are doing the same. I've had two colonoscopies myself, so I have to say I've got more insight into what it's like for my patients now as well.
You know how the government gives you for your 50th? Here's Rob, here's one to look forward to. For your 50th, the government sends you out a bowel testing kit. Now, if you send that back, do you still need a colonoscopy?
What that kit is doing is basically using our tax money to try and reduce the number of people that succumb to bowel cancer. So yes, it's kind of an early warning system. So if you have a positive bowel cancer screening test through the government program, and then you end up having the colonoscopy, which you need to investigate a positive result, doesn't always mean you had a bowel cancer, but if it is detected, your chance of surviving it is almost, you know, 60 to 70% greater than if you wait till you get sick.
Okay, doctor, often people don't change their behaviour and do something for their health unless they're disturbed. So let's disturb them with the statistics on bowel cancer.
Well, obviously we've got the Australian Bureau of Statistics. We had about 94 deaths in 2016 in Australians under the age of 39 from bowel cancer. Oh. But the scary statistic is for this year, they estimate 17,004 new cases of bowel cancer in Australia and about 4,130 deaths.
Okay.
So I think, you know, that's a pretty scary statistic.
You know how they say, you know, you should get your, if you're over the age of 45 or so, you should get your prostate checked. When should you get your colonoscopies done?
Okay. The best screening test in the world still for looking at the precursor, which is polyps that turn into cancer, is a colonoscopy. Yeah. And for men, the risk is probably increasing significantly at around 45 to 50 years of age, where the risk of a colonoscopy is nowhere near as, you know, likely to cause you harm as missing a bowel cancer. For women, it's around the age of 50 to 55, so a little bit later. But for both, you know, men and women, it's a really important thing to consider.
Robin just pointed at me quite seriously. My sister told me 5 years ago she had polyps, and she said everyone in the family's got to go now. That's my elder sister. Mm. I haven't gone. You don't feel anything, do you, if you've got anything wrong with you, bowel cancer-wise?
Yeah, what are the symptoms?
This is right. So early on, it can be quite asymptomatic. And if you've got a sibling or first-degree relative and you're worried about it, you should really talk to your general practitioner because they can organise a referral. But yeah, your sister was absolutely right. You need to make sure as a sibling that you haven't got polyps. They're much easier to remove and it prevents bowel cancer. You know, we know that people that have screening do much better in that regard and have less risk of cancer. And well, the symptoms can be anything from a change in bowel habit, blood on the paper, or blood in the bowel motions, abdominal pain that was sort of new, unexplained weight loss, anemia or becoming iron deficient and anemic. Sometimes you can have discomfort, but that's not, you know, very, very common. And the problem is, like you said, there's not much to really warn you about it. It's a very silent disease until it's quite advanced, and it can be much more difficult to treat and cure.
Okay, guys, consider yourselves warned. You too, Marto.
Yeah.
Doctor, thank you so much.
Well, and good luck with your procedures. And I'm thinking of Lawrence the Moon Man Mooney going through his colonoscopy today. But because of the wonderful specialty of anaesthetics, I'm sure he won't remember much of anything after when he's back in the office.
Thanks, mate.
Good on you.
It's
Bye.
The Big Breakfast, Marto, Robin and the Moon Man on Triple M.
Hola, Robin. Hola. There's a quiz question. Pressure. Who's this bilingual friend of ours?
It's Dora.
Back. Yeah. Thank
map,
God.
Map.
I just escaped Dora the Explorer. So bloody. But she's very well loved and liked, etc. I don't know why they needed to. And you know what's been going on the last week. We've been trying to grab her and film over here in Australia. And thank goodness, the whole world is complete for me now. Anastasia Palaszczuk was breathless yesterday telling us that, well, it all went well.
I can announce today that you have saved Dora the Explorer.
It means that you and I, more of our taxpayer dollars, are going to get Dora to come to Queensland, which apparently...
Oh, no!
Oh, yes. Thank you.
And Diego, her cousin.
All right. So we had to pay, I think it's going to be about $9 million. All right, to lure Dora to Australia.
Hmm.
I don't know if you're happy or not. But the freckle's not happy.
The freckle. Oh.
Deb Frecklington. I didn't know what her voice sounded like. She's got a voice that sounds like a freckle, but in amongst the silly voice, okay. She made a good point.
We'd really like to know how many taxpayers' dollars have been sent over to a Hollywood billionaire producer.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you really want to know?
No, okay.
Well, about $9 million probably, something like that. All right. So
Aren't you happy that we've got production happening in Queensland again?
I guess it's expensive to make shows.
I've got
friends in the movie world. You know, they do stuff and you know, I guess they're going all right. I am happy. If the government tells me I need to be happy, that's great. And $9 million.
You got the memo.
But the government told me. The government told me how much we're going to make out of the Commonwealth Games. And then I hear all these other stories. See, I'm Commonwealth Games wary because what's going to happen? There's a lot of people not going to be making money, but you've heard me talk about it before. A lot of people are going to be going semi-broke over the Commonwealth Games while the government goes, oh, look what happened there. We made lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But the good news is they've got this fund that they've got put aside, okay, called the Commonwealth Games something slush fund, I don't know, whatever it is. Listen to how.
Bank.
Listen to where this is coming from. So Dora's got to be made in some huge building. Listen to this.
A Commonwealth Games contingency or legacy fund, and that's because the studios where Dora the Explorer will be made is the same place the squash competition will be held during the games.
They're making Dora in the squash court. Yeah.
Play that little
Isn't
black
that a
ball.
Great noise?
No one Forget
plays
the
squash.
Map.
Who plays squash anymore? Some Kiwis and someone stuck in the 1970s. Andorra, sorry. Oh, good Lord.
All right, a moon man's going to be back on deck tomorrow.
Oh, good one.
Hopefully his colonoscopy has gone well. I'm sure he'll have a full report for us.
Oh, I hope not. Hold on. Freaky radio.
It's really the big breakfast. Marto, Robin and the moon man. If he was here, I'm sure he'd say something like, don't waste your life. We'll see you tomorrow.
Plumbers become super plumbers. Installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.